is Resurrection Sunday. How many of you, this is Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. Aren't the scriptures say the grave couldn't hold Jesus down? Death could not hold Jesus down. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Can we all say praise the Lord? We welcome you today to the Ape Apostolic Church of Deliverance, where we serve one Lord. Can we say one Lord?
One Lord.
Can we all say it's one Lord?
One Lord.
One faith.
One faith.
And one baptism.
One faith.
One God.
One God.
How many gods?
One God.
Who's the Father of all? He's above all, to all, and most important he is in?
His
all. Can we all say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you.
Amen. We bless the Lord. We thank God. Amen. I thank God for my wife. Hallelujah. For her diligence and her team that's been working with her. Amen. Pass the word that the church is open. We all need church, amen?
Amen.
Amen. We just bless the Lord. Thank God for bringing my daughter and our family safely over the highways from Philadelphia to Detroit, New York. Can we all say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I don't plan on being alone, but I'm just glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Because there's no guarantee that we had to make it in. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Thank God for our musicians that deserted me, but they're here somewhere. Amen. We just thank God for all that everyone is doing. Amen. I think we'll have one of those weightlifting contests. You don't have a weightlifting contest? Where Robert? Sit up, Robert. Where Robert? Sit up. We just want to have a weightlifting. This is Robert. Well, actually, this is our Tinsley's son. Don't look like it, but he is. Hey, what did Mr. Simon have in there? Mr. Simon. We're trying to do this weightlifting thing, can you? Oh, we bless God. They both are weightlifters. Amen. We just let them stay in their space. We stay in our space.
Amen.
Amen. But we bless the Lord, for God is good. And his mercies endure forever. Let us all stand for our scripture reading. Amen. Our subject today kind of ties in with the Lord's rising from the dead. Amen. Our subject today ties in with Resurrection Sunday. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. You ever have a testimony, tell somebody, nobody has ever been as good to you as God is good. Nobody has ever been so close to you as God. God is so close to us that he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter where you go, God will go with you. There's not another relationship in this world that can give you that kind of guarantee. That where you go, I will go. Where you are, I will be there. Amen. You know, it's like I had to go to an operation one of the few times I went to the hospital. I had to go in for an operation. And guess what? My wife didn't go in that operation room with me. Right? She couldn't go in the operation room with me. So guess who was there with me?
God
was. Yes, there are places that another relationship cannot go. But there are places where no relationship can be got out. And that's why I'm so glad I know who the Savior is. Amen. In my weakness, he's there. In my strength, he's there. In our low points, he's there. In our highs, he's there. He's there always. And it's praise him, sing the song, our God is awesome. Everybody know God is awesome? Just give God a wave off him if you know he's awesome. He'll keep you in the valley. Amen. He'll keep you in the rain. Our God is
awesome.
Come on, our God is
awesome.
Awesome. Our scripture reading will be coming from Luke, the 15th chapter. We're going to read verses 10 through 24 of Luke chapter 15. When everyone is able to stand. And if you don't have the Bible, it is on the screen. Amen. And our message today, I'll give you the message in advance. Isn't it good to know what the message is? Can we get the message in advance? You know, it's sort of like, any of y'all do some cooking out? You know, when you want those ribs, you have to marinate them. Because you want the flavor to do what? Get all the way through. You don't want just no surface ribs. You know, fake ribs. You don't want no McDonald's or whatever you call Mac ribs. You want the flavor to go all the way? So I'm going to give you the topic in advance so it can marinate in your soul. And as it marinates, it's going to go what? All the way through. Amen. Our message is, it's time for the dead to rise. It's time for the
dead to rise.
Can we all say it together? It's time for the dead say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over
one sinner,
that repenteth. And he said, a certain man has two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of good that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came, isn't that a wonderful thing? When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish for hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, I have sinned, Lord, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son, was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Let us pray. Lord, we bless you on this afternoon. Lord, today we thank you for Resurrection Sunday. Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, that the grave could not hold you down. Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, that you conquered death, hell, and the grave. And Lord, we thank you that you died as a lowly lamb, hallelujah, but you rose as our Savior, and we thank you. Now, Lord, on this afternoon, we thank you and we ask you to feed us with food that is convenient for our souls. Lord, speak. Lord, you know every situation that exists in the congregation. Lord, you know even those situations that people are dealing with privately. We ask you to speak to them through our word. And for this, we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name,
Jesus.
Amen, you may be seated. Amen. So our message, once again, this is time for the dead to rise. And to some, that might seem like an oxymoron. You know what an oxymoron is? There's something that is oxy. They're different. Amen. Like somebody can say, living dead. So yes, how can you be alive and dead? Right? How can we be alive and dead at the same time? Well, the prodigal son said his prodigal son father said, my son was
dead.
But now he is
alive.
But was he dead physically? So it must have been a what kind of death?
Spiritual.
A spiritual death.
Amen.
So in speaking of it's time for the dead to rise, we're not talking about an oxymoron. We're talking about it's time to rise up spiritually.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, when you think of death, death has many different definitions. There are many different ways to explain death. We all know the natural death is when you cease to exist. But then there's a death where you can still be alive and dead. There's a death where you can be walking around, but you're not really there. There's a death where you can be smiling on the outside, but crying on
the inside.
There's a death when somebody looks at you and they think everything's all right. But in your mind, you're contemplating, what do I do? You're contemplating, what direction do I take? There's a death, hallelujah, that will make you like the prodigal son, live your life immorally and righteous. That's a spiritual death. Now, when we think of a spiritual death, the Lord told Adam and Eve, he said, I'm going to put you in the garden. You may eat of every tree in the garden itself, for the tree that's in the midst of the garden. So what God said now, when you come into the garden, there's a whole lot of trees you're going to come to before you get in the midst of the garden. He said, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, don't touch it. He said, well, you can touch it, but don't eat of it. He said, because in the day that you eat of it, you're going to surely die. So he said, the tree that's in the midst, you can keep it, you can dress it, but do not what? Eat of it. And the devil deceived Eve, and Adam willfully sinned and ate of the tree, from the fruit from the tree. And the Bible says that God came off. Now let me talk about what kind of death. We're talking about a spiritual death. Prior to this, Adam and Eve communed with God daily. They had a relationship. They communicated with God. But once they disobeyed the Lord and they ate from the fruit, the Lord came walking in the cool of the night. They're not like, he don't come in to eat. He just come when you comfortable. I'm glad God comes when you comfortable. He won't come when you're uncomfortable, amen? So he came walking in the cool of the night, and the Lord said, Adam and Eve, where are you? They said, Lord, we hid ourselves. And the Lord said, why don't you hide yourself? We've had this relationship forever. I come to talk to you, you talk to me. He said, what changed the reason that now you are hiding from the Lord? Is anybody today hiding from the Lord?
Come on.
Anybody has done some things and you can't really face the Lord, so you're hiding. So the Lord says, have you eaten from the tree that I told you not to eat of? And they say, yes, Lord, we ate. So now the Lord said, the day you eat, going to what? Surely die. When? The next day, no, when? That day. And if you read about it in Genesis chapter 3, I believe it's verses 16 and 17, the scripture says that the Lord placed Adam and Eve outside of the garden. From that point on, they began to die. But the first death they died was a spiritual death. And then they were separated from God. Today, when we say it's time for the dead to rise, we're not talking about a physical death. We're talking about a spiritual death. Once again, a spiritual death is death that separates you and your relationship with God. You can't blame it on another individual because this is your personal relationship. This is your personal Savior. So this death, hallelujah, you don't have the same kind of relationship you used to have with God. Used to be a time when you just talked to the Lord. Anybody just talk to God? So happy to know that he's my Savior. But somewhere along the lines of time, things have happened so that you don't have that same intimacy with God. You don't have that same relationship with God. You don't talk to God like you used to. And life has become immoral, and life has become inconsistent, and life has become riotous. Riotous means you do what you want to do in opposition to God. Well, the scripture classifies that as death. Because that is separation between you and your God. I'm gonna come back to this. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 once again. Then we're talking about what may appear to be an oxymoron. And that you are alive, but you are still dead. You are alive, but you're still dead. You're walking, you're talking, but there is a relationship that's been severed. There's a relationship that no longer exists between you and the Savior. Amen. Verse 1 reads, and you had he quickened things to make alive, who were dead and what? So trespasses and sin is the equivalent of death. So the scripture said, you had he quickened me, those that have been baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost and are living a holy and a righteous life, he has quickened you. That means God has given you life. God has made a way for you. Now you have life. But if you don't have life through the quickening power of God, then you're still in trespasses and that is equivalent to being dead. He said, you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, when you have a trespass or transgress, it means to go against God. It's impossible, I don't care what anybody tell you, it's impossible for you to go against God and be alive spiritually. The very first man and the very first woman that God created, when they went against God, God had to have a separation. He put them out of the garden, and if you really read it a little further, the Bible says he put a flaming cherubim at the end of the garden. So the only way that something could get back to the tree of life is that it had to go through the flaming sword and the cherubim, which was symbolic of death. The only way that any of us have right to the tree of life and live it again is something had to die. And that's why our Savior came in, because he died for us. The reason that he was bruised for our iniquity and the chastisement of our peace was upon him was somebody had to go back through those flaming cherubs. Somebody had to go through, and in order for you to go through a sword, that meant you had to. The Bible said that he was barred beyond any man. What the law went through for us, the only way that we could be made alive is God had to die. And the God said, I didn't do it because I hated you. God said, I didn't do it because you were my enemy. He said, I did it because God so loved the world that he gave his only. Anybody glad this afternoon that God gave his son? Anybody glad that God sent his son to die for us so that we that were dead in trespasses and sin could be made alive? Now let's go back to Luke chapter 15. Now we understand that we're not talking about a physical death, but we're talking about a spiritual death. The way that you know you're spiritually dead is you don't hear God talk to you like you used to. You don't feel the move of God in your body like you used to. You don't feel God encouraging you like you used to, because something has separated between you and your God. The scripture says that the young son, as his father said, give me everything I owe that belongs to me. And he went out and he wasted it. You know, so sometimes it's good not to give people something that they'll want to have it, right? Parents give their children something, they go out and what?
Waste it.
Waste it, and they come back and get some more. Right? But this young son went on a far country, wasted everything he had. And while he had money, he had a whole lot of friends. Right, but when you get into that spiritually dead situation where there's not a human relationship you can depend on, you find yourself like the prodigal son. The scripture says he found himself in want. He was in such bad shape that the scripture says he would have eaten the very food that the pigs were eating, because everything he had was now wasted and he had no friends. But thank God, can we say he came to himself? Come on, he came to himself. The Bible said he came to himself and he thought about it. He said, you know what? I remember. You ever remember when things used to be a certain way when you had a right relationship with God? He said, I remember how it used to be. Now, if you read this, pay particular attention now, sometimes when father is a little F and then father is a BF, a capitalizer. The capitalized means he's talking about his Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Right? So he thought about himself. And he thought about how he, anybody remember how it used to be? when God was in on your side and you were doing everything to please him, and he thought about where I am right now. Where are you at right now, spiritually? And he said, when he thought about the whole situation, and he looked at the whole scenario, he said, when I was back with a right relationship with my father, things were all right. He said, but look at me now, I'm just dying and I'm wasting away and I don't have nothing, no friends and nobody to show for it. So he said, when he came to himself, he said, I'm gonna go back to my father. Anybody needs to go back to their father's house today. Anybody needs to come back to God today because things aren't what they ought to be. Yeah, it's time for the dead to rise. He said, I'm gonna rise up and I'm gonna go back to my father's house and I'm gonna say, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He said, just make me as a high servant because I realize there's peace in my father's house. He said, I realize there's joy in my father's house. I realize there is deliverance in my father's house. I realize there's protection in my father's house. I've been out here all this time by myself and things aren't getting better, they're getting worse. I'm in a spiritually dead condition. And I'm going to tell you something, when you're spiritually dead, every day you're scared of death. I'm talking about a natural death. When you're not in a spiritual condition, every time something happens, you're afraid. Because you know down in your spirit and in your soul, you're not ready to meet God. So every time something happens, you're ashamed, right? Because spiritually, you are
dead.
You're dead. And because you don't have the peace, now a lot of times people lose their peace. I heard the word of God say that God will keep them in perfect peace if your mind is. But the devil knows that you get peace in Jesus. He knows you get peace in God. So what does he do? He sends you trouble to keep you away from God. But Isaiah said, God will keep them in
perfect peace.
When you're with God, God will just give you average peace. When your relationship is right with the Savior, you don't just have a little peace, but you have only the peace that God can give you. But today, people don't have peace of mind. You don't have peace in spirit. You don't have peace in soul because you're spiritually dead. Because you know your life is in opposition to God. You know that you've been doing everything you want to do, but you don't have no joy. I like what the Lord said. He said, this joy that I have, the world, this joy I have, drugs in it, this joy that I can give you, nicotine, this joy that I'm going to give you, alcohol, heroin, can't give it to you, a man can't give it to you, a woman can't give you. He said, the joy that I have, nobody can give it to you. And when you get my joy, when you get my peace, nobody can take it away. Because joy said, no matter what, I'm going to praise the Lord anyhow.
Yeah.
No matter how bad things get, I'm going to still praise him because I got joy. Anybody got joy? I heard somebody say, joy bells keep ringing in my soul. When I have the right mind, when I have peace with God, the joy bells keep ringing in my soul. But the prodigal son, his father said he was what? Wouldn't that seem to be an oxymoron? How could he be dead when he was walking to him? Because spiritually, he was not in the place of God where he should be. So the prodigal son's father said, my son was
dead.
He was dead. When he was out there doing what he wanted to do and walking in opposition and immorally and just having parties and having a good time, he was
dead.
But he said, now that he's coming back home. Anybody walk away from God? Has anybody walked away from church? You know, I said, well, you know, how many of you see a lot of problems in church? Yes. You know, not perfect. That's why Jesus said the church is a hospital.
That's right.
How many know if Jesus said something pretty much what he's talking about?
Right.
So he said, they that are whole don't need a physician. But they that are sick need the physician. So the Lord himself said, in church, there's going to be some people that need the physician. There's some people in church. Church ain't perfect. I'm going to tell you right now, hey, look at me, I ain't perfect. I strive for perfection, but I'm not perfect. But Jesus did say, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:48. That means we should strive for our perfection. But a lot of people have walked away from God because of what they saw in church. A lot of people have turned their back on the Savior because of what they saw somebody else do. But has God done anything to you?
Come on.
Has God personally done anything to you? Well, what the devil is doing is he's using, you know, there are hypocrites in church. There are hypocrites in church. You know those hypocrites?
Yeah, I know a whole lot of hypocrites.
There are hypocrites in church. Yes.
Yeah.
In church, there are people that will say one thing and do another. Where?
In church.
But that doesn't give you an excuse
for
not doing what you ought to do in church. So what a lot of us are dead because we're using everybody else for an excuse not to do what we ought to do. That's why the Lord said, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may find grace and mercy to help in a time of need. When you're spiritually dead, that is a time of
need.
You need to save. So it's time for the dead to arise. The Father said that not only was my son dead, but he was also lost. Anybody need to get saved today? Lost. He said, well, now he is
found.
It's time for the dead to rise. Well, how do I rise? The first thing the prodigal son did, he went back to the father's house. Did he go back to the father's house?
Yes.
Symbolic of that he had the need for a change. Let me see if I can find it. If you go to all the way up to verse 21, we realize that this prodigal son was talking about a natural father. But in verse 21, the whole script changes. Amen. Because in verse 21, he said, and the son said unto him, what kind of? That's a big capital F. You know what he said? He said, you know what? I can't place more emphasis on my natural relationship than I can on my spiritual relationship. Yes, I love my wife and everybody else, but I can't place more emphasis on this relationship than my heavenly relationship. So verse 21, he says, Father, I have sinned against. Well, what's the indication that you are dead spiritually when you begin to sin against heaven? He said, I have sinned against heaven, Lord, and I have sinned against thee. And he said, Lord, when you watch me, well, how many, let me ask you a question. All right, just listen to me talking spiritually. He said, I've sinned in thy sight, right? Could the Father see him in the far country? His natural father couldn't see him in the far country, right? So he said, I've sinned in thy sight. So whose sight was he talking about? Because the natural father could not see him in a, you know, do you ever leave church sometime and you go do your own thing and you say, nobody can see me? The heavenly father sees you all the time. When it comes to God, there is no hiding place. The scripture says concerning God, he that keepeth Israel, which was symbolic of his people, neither slumbers nor somebody said, well, I'm going to go to Russia, because when I go to Russia, won't nobody know me. Still in his sight. Because when it comes to God, there is no hiding place. So you're running from God, just like the prodigal son ran. but you're dead. You are lost. It's time for the dead to
rise.
It's time for the dead to come to themselves. It's time for the dead to stop using everybody else as an excuse for not being what God wants them to be, and to simply say, like the prodigal son said, Father, I have sinned. Hallelujah. Don't pretty it up. Don't do anything, because you know what the Bible said? God already knows the end from the beginning. The scripture said, when it comes to God, God even knows your thoughts
far off.
So even at this moment, God knows what you're going to be doing tomorrow, the next day, and afar off. And he said, there's not a word in your tongue, but God said, I know it all together. So I'm saying it's time for us to stop using excuses, and it's time for us to rise from the dead. It's time to get rid of anything that's separating between you and your God. I don't care what it is. I don't care who it is. If it's separating, it's time for you to do it. As we all say, it's time to rise from the dead. Well, how do you know you're dead? If you're in trespasses and sin, you are you're dead. And what I like about God is the Bible says God never condemns us. Amen. In God's sight, he never condemns us. But God is always putting out a beckoning arm saying it's time for you to come back home. I don't know the reason, as the elders and the ministers come forward. I don't know the reason why some of us have walked away from God. And I don't know the people, and I don't know your situation. But I heard the scripture said, what fault have you found in God? What has God done to you, the reason you walked away from God? What has God personally done to you that you have turned your back on God? It's time for the church. It's time for every last one of us to say, Lord, I just want to be right. Do you want to be right? It's not in my sight that counts. It's not in anyone else's sight that counts. And Jesus said, fear not him that's able to destroy the body, but have no more power to destroy the soul. Today we are to fear him that's able to destroy both the body and soul in hell. It's time for the church and the dead to rise from the dead.